We're now recording.
It is 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time here on Tuesday, January 28th. We're going to go ahead and call the Arizona Board of Technical Registration to order. And if we can go ahead and start with roll call.
Mr. Klecka?
Present.
Mr. Sales?
Present.
Mr. Nesgood?
Present.
Mr. Gilmore?
Present.
Ms. Klett?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Present.
Dr. Campbell?
Present.
Ms. Hobick? Ms. Stacy? Stanky? Mr. Lindsay?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Wonderful, thank you. All right, our next item on the agenda here is the call to the public. Members of the public may address the board during this call to the public for no more than 3 minutes per person. Pursuant to ARS, board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless those matters are properly noticed for discussion and action. However, board members may ask staff to review a matter in the future or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. I want to emphasize that if you already have an agenda item for today, this is not the time to have that discussion. This is for anyone who wishes to make any calls to the public that are not currently scheduled. Is there anyone here in person or online who wishes to make any statements before the board?
I would like to make a statement.
All right, if you could please identify yourself and go ahead.
Good morning, board. My name is Aiden Weber. I'm appearing before you today to once again seek help for obtaining some PIR requests that I submitted. It's been over 10 days, but the board staff has been unwilling to comply with these requests. To any of you who are unfamiliar, last year my employment with the board was terminated as a result of me seeking an ADA accommodation to receive medical treatment. Upon investigation by the eligibility review team at DES, it was determined that my job was lost through no fault of my own. Still trying to get several emails and documents for litigation purposes. However, I've had no luck at all with board staff, so at this time I just kindly asked the board to please assist in getting me these PIRs.
Thank you, Mr. Weber. Obviously, we can't take any action on these items other than to hear from you at this moment. Is there any other people online that wish to address the board? And Mr. Bill Branch has a
that's correct. Yeah, Bill Branch, here in Flagstaff. I came across, it's pretty common to see some really cool videos from home inspectors, and, there's a lot to learn out there. I'm wondering, based on a video that I shared with Investigator Dale Elliott, is there a larger question to ask, and that is, do sellers waive the right to have home inspectors perform other types of services other than what was intended at the time of the inspection, such as taking videos for their social media, and remarking about the personal effects that they find inside a house. I think it's an important discussion, so hopefully maybe the next meeting we can hear about it. That's it.
Thank you very much, appreciate that. Any other individuals wishing to address the board? Seeing none here in the room. Kurt, I assume there's nobody else online. All right, then I'm going to go ahead and close this call to the public, and we're going to move forward with the rest of our agenda for today. Next item is the adoption of the minutes from the January 7th board meeting. I'm assuming all board members have had a chance to review those minutes. Are there any comments, questions, concerns related to those minutes? If not, I will entertain a motion for adoption.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I propose a motion to adopt the January 7th, 2025 board meeting minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Do we have a second?
Bill Nesgood, I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Nesgood. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell?
Pardon me, I was pressing the wrong button.
No worries. All right, anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take a couple items out of the regular order. We're going to start with agenda item 7, which are considerations of cases referred for formal hearing. And I believe, do we have our, yes we do, we have our counsel online there. Rebecca, do you mind just doing a quick audio check, make sure we can hear you?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. This is Roberto Pulver. I'm the independent advisor for these two items.
Thank you very much. And do we have Mr. Cagle on the line? Okay. We don't see him on there. Okay. All right. Roberto, would you like to do kind of a brief introduction of the case and the, what we're basically asking for the board to do today?
Certainly. You have your Assistant Attorney General file two motions. Let me just grab those for a second here. Two motions regarding Mr. Cagle, and one is case number P23-110 and P23-113. And both of these motions by Ms. Dean Ray are to motion to rescind because there was recent legislation that removed this out of jurisdiction of the Technical Registration Board. And that's what's before you, is because this is out of your jurisdiction, you no longer have the authority to move forward with these two cases to administrative hearing. So the motions are in front of you to follow the statute to rescind these two cases to go before OAA due to loss of jurisdiction, requiring a vote from the board, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Do board members have any questions or comments related to the motion at hand, or the proposed motion, I should say? Mr. Donald, can we do this as one motion, or would we have to do this as two separate motions since they're two different cases?
Mr. Chair, that would actually be an IA question, but I would be more than happy to answer any substantive questions regarding the motion in the place of Deanie Ray, as she is not present.
I believe we should do this as two separate motions, is what I'm seeing.
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman. There are two separate motions, and that's how they're agendized, and you should have two separate motions and two separate votes.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
The ledger for 7A1, David Putt, is online and would like to address the board.
I was just about to ask if Mr. Putt was online. Mr. Putt, if you could please just state your name and if you'd like to put my attention on this case.
Yes, my name is David Putt. I'm the ledger on this case, which was a valid case, which was filed over 18 months ago. So 18 months before this new law became effective, I think it's a travesty that this complaint is now being rescinded and before the board with a motion to be rescinded. I think the board failed in performing their duties, and I think this whole thing is a travesty. It's sad to me that someone who is incompetent and unprofessional, like Brian Cagle, is allowed to continue surveying without even so much as a reprimand.
Appreciate your comments, Mr. Putt. You know, obviously this legislation does not provide any grandfathering, therefore any case at this point, no matter when it was filed, is still subject to the legislation at hand.
Yes, I would just like to point out, Mr. Chair, again, in the place of AAG D.D. Ray, I believe that I can say that the reason this became an issue was, as you've identified, legislation that came through, and unfortunately were these cases to proceed to a hearing, at the time of the hearing, the board would not have jurisdiction.
Do any board members have any comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to rescind the administrative hearing and dismiss pursuant to ASR 32-106, A5, and C1 and 2.
Hi, Mr. Chair, this is Dana Klett. I'd like to make a motion to rescind the ordered formal administrative hearing and dismiss this case due to loss of jurisdiction for ARS 32-106 C1 and 2 for case P23-110.
Thank you, Ms. Klett. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Any final discussion? All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. We'll need a second motion for the case P23-113.
This is Danny Klett. I'd like to make a motion for case P23-113 to rescind the order for formal administrative hearing and dismiss this case due to loss of jurisdiction for ARS 32-106 C1 and 2.
Thank you very much, Ms. Klett. Do you have a second?
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore.
I might have one comment.
Yes.
I'm sympathetic to Mr. Putt's position, and we can't discuss the merits of what's happening. Just express my disappointment at the loss of jurisdiction. I hope that we can get it back in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any final discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. Thank you. All right, there's one more item. I believe, Judith, unless that individual is not ready to talk about this, is agenda item 9D, which is the Gould Technologies update on the board online transition. Are they available to present?
He is available.
Thank you. And I apologize, the individual's name again.
Rick Gould.
That's pretty logical and makes sense. Mr. Gould, thank you so much. The board, we're at your disposal here. Please feel free to get started.
Thank you. We're a vendor, a third party. We've been working with various state agencies for over 30 years. I won't make comment on the age about that. Helping right now, we've engaged 16 different agencies, helping them with their transition to this new licensing platform, Thentia. The platform name is Thentia by a company called Thentia. We are not associated with them, we are independent. So we've been helping a lot doing the conversion. We are now helping many of those agencies post-conversion, doing some cleanup, doing some maintenance, and doing enhancements. Currently, there are three other agencies, in addition to BTR, going through the transition at the same, pretty close to the same stage that BTR is. Timeline, so the vendor was supposed to start about 3 years ago. They took on close to 24 different agencies, so that was a bit much. So they didn't start many agencies right away, and so that's resulted in a lot of delays. In addition to that, they've had a lot of staffing changes, so there's been multiple starts and stops, staffing changes on this project with this board. That's delayed things quite a bit. So we seem to have a good person from their staff now on the project, and we're making some headway. I'd like to say, though, that BTR staff is doing very well with the transition. They're very involved. They're pushing to get it done. They see the benefits of the system going from a paper-based system where they're having to do a lot of manual entry into the current database to a system that is very automated, where the applicants, licensees, complainants, and respondents can submit electronically. And so then the staff can review and communicate electronically, which should be very nice for everybody involved. Some of the challenges, though, that BTR has is the statutes that they're involved with, because they deal with such a wide variety of license types.
There's many different statutes that the Thentia system has had to be tailored to meet, which has also slowed down implementation. There are things like an expiration date that's tied to the end of the quarter in which the application is done. That's unusual. Further complicating it, when you have things tied to something else other than a license expiration date, such as a principal controlling person associated with the alarm business, indeed the whole alarm business licensing is very, very complicated, and even trying to understand some of the statutes. But when you have a loss of a controlling person on a license, that means the license is invalid. Trying to tailor the system to do that requires extra processing, nightly processing. Again, your financial assurance on home inspectors creates another huge complexity that the board's been working with Thentia to understand and enact. So we have lots of complexities with BTR that have made this a challenging implementation. So on top of that, we have the data mapping. As most people in IT will tell you, getting the data from one system into another system clean has been the biggest challenge. We're making sure we want to do that right for BTR, because the applicants and licensees do not need to deal with it. As a matter of fact, I've spent all weekend cleaning data for another agency that was rushed into going live. So I'm still running a process on systems to clean their data. So we want to make sure that BTR goes in clean and smooth. So we're looking for some really good things, like I said earlier, out of this new system, getting away from paper, getting away from paper submissions, going into electronic submissions, better electronic communication. So that'll be very nice. And hopefully help the staff out, review, and everything else. Right now we're expecting, and I don't see any problems with this, going live in the mid-May timeframe. We have some challenges with BTR's renewals at the end of every quarter. There was a push by others to go mid-February, but the Thentia product is not configured right. The data is not ready to go there, so it's pushed off to mid-May, which is, to me, a very good date. So, that's the end of my presentation. Is there any questions I could answer for the board?
Thank you, Mr. Gould. I do believe that Judith would like to add on to what you've been saying as well.
I do. Thank you. Mr. Chair and board members, I cannot overemphasize the essential nature of work that Rick and his team have done with this project. I think we would all agree we are overdue for this transition. We need it desperately, and to get away from paper and help the people that we serve. And the data mapping, you know, the transition that is involved with clean, accurate data mapping from our Microsoft CRM Power app that is failing into this new platform. It's the difference between a successful transition and a nightmare situation where we end up in front of the governor and on the news that people can't renew and everything's, you know, falling to pieces, which has happened with other agencies, and we do not want to be a part of that. this vendor, they're great. They're doing their best. I have drawn a firm line in the sand that we will not make this transition until we're ready. It is complicated funding and everything else more than I can even express since we started talking in 22 and now we're in 2025. So I really appreciate Rick coming and emphasizing. We asked Rick to do this because it's just Kurt and me telling you what's going on, and I thought, well, it would be nice to hear it from a professional who's working on our system. So I would encourage you, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to ask Rick while he's here.
Does any board member have any questions, comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Scott Sales, I have a question or two. So thanks, Mr. Gould, for being able to be on here and take some questions and tell us a little bit about the status. So with this Thentia, it's going to be the program. Is that You said it's used a lot of places. I'm just curious, there's a lot of cybersecurity and issues and things. How safe is this new platform? Have there been any break-ins? There's a lot of information in there. I'd like it to not be compromised in any way.
Yeah, so it's passed, it has the designation it needs to get through ADOA's approval. I don't remember, I think that's the FedRAMP. They are on a GovCloud, not just a regular cloud, but which has the extra security. So I have not heard of any breaches or any issues. I know that ADOA Asset has reviewed it, and it seems to meet what I would call pretty good security standards, if not excellent. And I believe they're keeping up on that.
To add some clarity to that, so the State Procurement Office that would have to have anything cleared through Department of Administration's, for lack of a more technical term, the IT people that see to that, it has to meet a pretty high bar for a government agency. That's a great question.
Okay, good. Just a few more. So do you know what other, if you know, what other states Ventia is running this type of platform for any, say, Board of Technical Registration?
I know in Oklahoma, the engineers and architects both are on a Ventia platform. I've spoken to them at conferences, that's how I know that. But otherwise, I'm not sure, Rick. I don't know if you know that.
No, I don't know specifically about other technical registration boards. There's they have other agencies throughout the country and in Canada.
Okay, and then last one, do we know, I know we don't want to rush anything, want to make sure it's right, but is there a target date on when folks, when it'll be fully active?
Our target date was a couple of years ago, but now the target date is mid-May. If we do not complete this project this fiscal year, it's going to create some extra difficulties with funding. So that is our current target date, is mid-May.
I was going to say, okay, well, so if it's mid-May, I guess we could leave it on the for future agendas, just in the policy matters area, just to keep getting updates on it too. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, out there wondering about it, and if it's going to cause fiscal issues with this board, we want to make sure it gets done by the end of this fiscal year.
This is something that I've left on the director's report every month, but if we want to have a discussion on it, we could leave it under policy matters. We could talk about it.
As long as there's an opportunity to be able to talk about it, I'm fine with it being down in the director's report.
Any other questions? All right, Mr. Gould, thank you so much for coming in and presenting. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
We're going to go back to our regularly scheduled program here, item number 5, the consent agenda. Julie, under licensing matters, anything you'd like to preamble?
Nothing under the consent agenda, unless the board has any questions.
I know that we do have one for agenda item 6, but does any board member have any items under 5A that you wish to pull from consent? All right, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items 5A1 through 5A1.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I'd like to propose a motion to approve all the items under the consent agenda, item 5A, which one includes A1, 2, 3, 4. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Do we have a second?
No, that's good. I'll second that.
Any discussion? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Moving on to licensing matters, again, some of these were tied to or related to item 5A, 1 and 4. I know that, Mr. Sales, I believe licensing matter item 6A, 2A is one that you wish to pull.
Yes, Mr. Chair, item 6A, 2A, I'd like to have separate.
Okay, any other items that any board member wishes to pull? If not, then I'll entertain a motion to approve licensing matters 6A1, A through D.
I'd like to make a motion to approve licensing matters 6A1, A through D.
Thank you, Mr. Nesgood. Do we have a second?
Sure, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any final discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Ms. Platt?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. All right, let's go ahead and go into item 6A2A, Mr. Sales.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to propose a motion to not approve item 6A2A, Eason Kaya. Based on looking through the information, everything was looking pretty good for experience and all the other items until I got down to a part where I noticed that, based on the way I read it, under ARS 32126A3, the license for the foreign license in Canada is not currently active. And under 32126A3, it talks about has been actively engaged in another state or foreign country as a professional registrant in the profession which registrant sought for at least 5 years and holds a valid certificate of registration in good standing issued by that state or country, and based on that they do not have a registration in good standing, as they do not have registration there right now when it was applied to. So unfortunately I'd have to propose a motion to deny the request for 6A2A.
Permission to speak?
Yes, in fact, I was just about to. Mr. Eason Kaya, am I pronouncing that properly?
Thank you, Eason Kaya.
Yes.
So, thank you for taking my call. I was, when I applied to the Arizona board, my professional engineering license in Canada was active for 20 years' time. And I have a letter supporting that, and probably it's submitted to the board. And also, I have good standing confirmation from the Professional Engineers of Ontario, and they explicitly explain the situation that I resigned voluntarily without any issues with good standing. End of the December, it was supposed to be renewed for another year. I was under the impression that I got the license from Nevada State, and NCES approved my all 25 years of experience and even the university credentials from overseas. So I resigned as they suggested. So they send a letter expressing that I am eligible to reinstate the professional engineering license in Canada anytime as I choose to practice engineering in Ontario again. So this decision came to a very I was overseas and attending my father's funeral. So I have to make a financial decision, so to speak, to not to renew it. So I could renew the professional engineer in Ontario right now, paying the fees and annual fees, and then restate, so to speak. But it just the letter attached clearly explains the situation on the good standing, so to speak, for 20 years' time in Ontario.
All right, thank you for jumping on the call. I didn't realize you were on the call there. It would have been good to hear from you prior, but even with that, I'm unfortunately stuck with just how the Arizona revised statutes are written there, and the words that we're held to follow and go through on. So it talks about holds a valid certification, and I, you know, all the different states and foreign territories are different in how they license. I understand you got a license in Nevada, and I don't know, you mentioned someone telling you, hey, maybe you didn't need the Ontario license anymore. I was unfortunate whoever told you that information that might, you know, as it affects all, any other state, all the states are different in how they license, and based on the information for the Arizona Revised Statutes, that's where I'm stuck on.
May I elaborate? And the professional engineers of Ontario, as per request, they provided a letter dated January 15, I believe in the file. So they state that they received, when I applied and asked the Arizona board to confirm the professional engineer of Ontario good standing, it was early November 5, I believe. At the time, they didn't respond for some reason. And then when I realized that it was end of December, I was overseas, and there was some misunderstandings, and I thought that I've already approved within the communications with the evaluation department. That's I'll take the responsibility for resigning from that institution. However, during the application of the evaluation of my credentials, that time the PO was active in November, and actually end of December I voluntarily resigned, so that I can be registered again with Ontario just for the sake of getting a good standing. But it is not logic to me to register for something and then cancel it again, because I'm not going to be practicing in Ontario anymore, because I'm residing in Arizona now. Does that make sense?
No, what you're saying, it's understandable. Mr. Chair, make sure, get some legal advice based on the wording that's listed in three. So I guess I'd like to propose a motion to enter executive session pursuant to...
Oh, that's fine, but let's see if there's any other items you want to put into executive session as well. Judith, shake your head. No.
I don't want to combine executive session items.
I would also like to, as a kind of point of order, a motion was made, but not a second.
You're right. Okay, I'll let this one go forward and see what happens.
We have a motion to move into executive session for legal advice.
Nope, and that one wouldn't be proper. I guess the original one.
You need to
that I had made my motion.
You want to go in?
Well, we have a motion that hasn't been seconded yet, correct? Okay, so is there going to be a second for that motion?
That's just what I was about to ask. Is this, do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
And not for the executive, but for the original motion to deny.
I can withdraw my motion. Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw my motion, please. Of the denial of the licensure for 6A2A.
All right, and we didn't have a second, so that clears the board on that one. Now we can make another motion to move into executive session to receive the evidence.
Perfect. Mr. Chair, Scott Settles, I'd like to propose a motion to enter executive session to receive legal advice on item 6A2A.
Thank you, Mr. Settles. Do we have a second?
Dr. Campbell will second.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, we'll be right back. We're going to go into executive session to receive legal advice and return shortly. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. Got a thumbs up, we're recording. All right, thank you, everybody. The Board of Technical Registration is back in our regular session after receiving some legal advice in the executive session. We'll turn it back over to Mr. Sales here, and
there. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So before I maybe propose my a motion, I'd like to, what is available if Mr. Donald might be able to provide a little bit more information that's on his or on the interpretation of some of the, how the applications work, timelines, and when things might, depending on when things get submitted versus how the board action and time of that, and then I'll provide my motion.
Certainly members of the board. It is important to keep in mind that the board's authority to grant or deny an application can only be exercised at the time the board is faced with that question in a board meeting. And that is when all statutory requirements have to be met by the applicant. The board can only evaluate the application before it. So for example, the board cannot say that qualifications were met 2 weeks ago or 3 months ago, and therefore they can grant an application. They are only really able to evaluate the application as it stands at that moment. So at the point of considering the application, all qualifications would have to be met, legally speaking, for the board to be able to grant that application. So we could continue it to a future month, or we can reject it. We'll put the motion to what the board wants to do.
Mr. Chair, Scott Sales again. So related to continuances, I know there's some rules on how long applications and such need to be responded to. And there's timeliness, and I know this one went through pretty quick to get to us to this point. How much time is available left under to be able to potentially continue the, if we were to continue, provide a continuance for some more additional information to potentially be added?
If the board determines that it's substantially incomplete, the applicant would have 30 days to provide any additional information. You can also submit a written request to ask for an additional 30 days on top of that. Otherwise, it would be administratively closed.
And I believe, Mr. Donald, if we choose to continue that, per Julie's information, we wouldn't have to take a motion. It would just simply be continued to a future board meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. In effect, by taking no action, the board would pend the application to a subsequent proceeding.
As Chair Scottell, based on what I'm seeing, I believe it is probably substantially incomplete, and we need some more additional information to make some guidance based on 32.126A3. So if that's possible, I'd like to see it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that, it's a pleasure, Mr. Chair.
Well, unless any board member has an objection to that, I would suggest we pursue that course of action. Okay. All right. All right.
Mr. Chair, so will someone reach out to the... Okay. All right. Sounds like we got an affirmative. Someone will reach out on staff.
Yeah, to Mr. Kai.
Okay. I appreciate Mr. Kai for joining us on the call and providing some of his background on that. So much appreciated.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, before the board moves on to the next agenda item, there is an agenda item the board has already looked at under the consent agenda, but which it may wish to revisit for a moment. There is a matter I would like to point out with regards to it. It's agenda item 5A4B10. It was a renewal application, but there was, along with the renewal, there was additionally an email request related to a separate case, and it's easy for that to be missed in doing the renewal in this in the other agenda item. So I wanted to make sure that this was addressed very quickly. There was a request regarding removing a judgment from the record in a different case number. I just wanted to note for the board does not have an expungement statute, and all documents created by the board in the course of business are presumed to be public documents and are governed by various laws regarding record retention. So the board would not really have an ability to expunge or to remove public records. related to a case. Again, I just wanted to touch base on that very quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes.
Obviously, it doesn't change the action the board has taken under the consent agenda, but that is worth clarifying. All right, thank you. Okay, let's move on to agenda item 8, which are enforcement matters. The first section here are agenda items 8A1A through 8A1F. And these are based on loss of jurisdiction due to the new state legislation that was passed last year. Just double checking to make sure we don't have anyone who is wishing to speak on any of those items. There are some individuals who are virtual just here to listen in case any board members have questions. Does any board member wish to pull any of these any of these dismissals out? Otherwise, we can do it as one motion.
Chair, are we doing a motion for all eight items, or just 8A1 through, or is it just the 8As? We do separate motion for the 8Bs?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Is that okay?
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Then I'll entertain a motion to dismiss pursuant to ARS 32-106A5 and C1 and 2, agenda items 8A1A through 8A1F.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I'd like to propose a motion to dismiss items 8A1A, B, C, D, E, and F due to loss of jurisdiction pursuant to ARS 32-106A5 and C1 and 2.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. We have a second.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. All right, let's move on to 8B. We do have a few individuals who do wish to speak. There are also a few individuals who did not specify, and I want to tackle those first. The first one is agenda item 8B1. Mr. Trump did not mention whether he wishes to address the board or not. I don't know if he is online or not. Mr. Al Trump. Can we see him on the record?
I did see him earlier. I do not see him now.
Okay. He didn't specify. The other one was, we do have a few individuals who wish to address the board on 8B2, but there was also a Mr. James Gillette who did not specify either whether he wished to address the board or just to listen in. And then lastly, agenda item 8B8, Demetrius Gies, respondent, also did not specify. Do we have Mr. Gies on the line?
I don't see him.
Okay. And then finally, under 8B12, Gregory Axton also did not specify. Do you know if the individual is online?
I also don't see.
Okay. All right. So right now we have individuals who wish to speak under B2, 3, 10, and 11. We do not have any individuals wishing to speak related to dismissal cases of B1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 12, or 13. And as such, we'd entertain a motion for dismissal for those unless anyone else wishes to address the board or a board member wishes to address this specificity.
Mr. Chair, I'm agreeable to combining some to dismiss all at once. If you might repeat those numbers again just to make sure, because I'm good with all of these.
B1, B4, B5, B6, 7, 8, 9, 12, and 13, which would be four cases to address individually because those are individual.
Number 8 has an addition to.
Yeah.
possible referral. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to pull that one separate. I apologize. That's right. Yes. So strike 8 there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you know, you mentioned a couple of these names that mentioned they may or may not want to speak. Would it be possible to run through the 4 or now 5 items first? Then if there's still no one here, then sure, bash the rest together, just to give the opportunity for those that thank you. All
right. So you would take 8 off the list, and then the other one was 12. And 1. So that would leave you with 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 13. Okay.
So, Mr. Sales, are you suggesting that we start with item B2 with people that are present in the room and then go back to anything that you might consent? Okay.
Yeah, if it pleases the chair there, just if someone did step, I know either way is fine.
Yeah, you can still do the motion with the numbers that we just went through, but we leave the ones that we don't know if someone's there. It gives them a chance to come online afterwards.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. All right, Mr. Chair, Scott Sales would like to propose a motion to dismiss items 8, B, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 13.
Perfect. Thank you. Sales, do we have a second?
Hold on, I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Pesker. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. All right, so we will come back to those additional items towards the end of this section. So let's go ahead and move on with agenda item 8B2, which is case P25-001, Mr. Peter Lofquist. There's also a related case, which is P25-008, which is agenda item 12 under the same section. So just let us get organized here one second, please. We have Ms. Crawford, and then if you gentlemen would also just state your name for the record, and we'll come to you in just a second after Ms. Crawford provides it.
Peter Lofquist. Scott McClure for Peter Lofquist.
Thank you. Ms. Crawford, if you would, please.
Good morning, Board. The Board received a complaint regarding respondents' involvement with a civil suit through providing expert testimony in an area of structural engineering in which he allegedly lacks the professional qualifications and technical expertise. It is also alleged that respondent demonstrates a lack of knowledge and competence regarding multiple engineering methods. Board staff is recommending for dismissal of this case as the subject matter may not be under the Board's purview.
Thank you, Ms. Crawford. You gentlemen would like to make a statement?
I'll keep it brief. And the reason that we wanted to make a statement is because these type of complaints send a chill in litigation to experts that are testifying or provide forensic services in litigation. In my opinion, the complaint by Felton Group almost rises, and if it doesn't rise, I think it does. Under 32.1281 to other misconduct in the practice of the profession, and more specifically, Felton has used this process, has abused this process to seek some sort of vindictive motive against Mr. Felton. I'm not going to get into the details because I'm sure that the board has reviewed the responses by both myself and Mr. Felton. And by Mr. Lofquist. There's a way, if somebody is not qualified in the context of litigation, there is certainly a way in which to attack those qualifications. And what's disturbing in this case is they didn't avail themselves of the process that they chose, Felton chose, in order to attack or cross-examine or to exclude the testimony of Mr. Lofquist. And it went forward, and Felton was found to have fallen below the standard of care, i.e. they were found to be incompetent. So, and I'm gonna let Mr. Lofquist speak because I think you know, I'll say one more thing, is when this case came in, I'd never seen something like this. I'm not, you know, obviously there may have been past cases like this before the board. I'm not privy to the history of what goes on here every day, or year in and year out. But I know that when I contacted an expert to assist me in Mr. Lofquist's defense, just because of the nature of the complaint, they declined to assist because they didn't want to expose themselves to a potential complaint to the board and having to defend themselves and having to spend money to defend themselves. So I don't know what kind of message the board can send to Mr. Felton and Felton Group, but what they've done is completely inappropriate.
Thank you. I'll apologize if there's any overlap between what I'm about to say and what Mr. McClure said. This complaint was based on litigation testimony and opinions that were expressed for purposes of litigation. The complaint had absolutely nothing to do with rules and statutes that the board is overseeing. You know, as Mr. McClure said, during the litigation process, the one who determines the competency of the person testifying and the opinions being presented are the trier of fact, either an arbitrator or a judge. In this case, it's an arbitrator. In this case, we had an arbitrator who was a very experienced construction defect litigator and arbitrator. You know, and as Mr. McClure said, Felton had all the information that was in the complaint was in Felton's possession for many months before the arbitration occurred. If Mr. Felton felt, or if Felton Group felt that there was any validity to anything that was in that complaint, they had ample opportunity to present that to the arbitrator and have him dismissed as an expert, which would have benefited them greatly in the arbitration process. They chose not to do that, in my opinion, primarily because they knew they would never have him dismissed as an expert. You know, I've been retained in over 200 litigation cases as an expert witness. No one has ever challenged my qualifications or expertise. In my opinion, Felton filed this complaint for two very obvious and transparent reasons. Witness intimidation, which is what Mr. McClure just touched on, and a grievance and retribution against me. The witness intimidation part, I think, is very clear. What Felton is trying to do is get the word out there that if you are going to testify or potentially testify against them, they are going to attack your license. Shortly after this complaint was filed against me, my office was contacted by an attorney who wanted to hire one of our engineers as an expert in a case which could potentially end up as testimony against Felton. Felton was a party in that litigation. The engineer in my office declined to take the case solely for the concern that there would, if he did testify against Felton, Felton would file a complaint against them the way they did against me. You know, and as Mr. McClure said, when we tried to hire or looked into hiring an expert to testify in my defense in this matter, that expert was extremely reluctant to do so because of the concern about a complaint being filed against them. Some of that might be dismissible if this were an isolated incident, but it's not an isolated incident. Felton has already established a pattern of this. And item 12, the complaint against Mr. Greg Axton, is also a complaint that was filed by Felton during a litigation process. You know, they were in the middle of litigation when this complaint was filed. You know, I was also involved in that litigation matter, and I read the report that Mr. Axton wrote. You know, and again, it is an expert opinion for the purposes of litigation. They, again, in that case, chose not to go through the due process of going to the arbiter or the judge and having and making a challenge to Mr. Axton's qualifications. You know, so again, the pattern that they are trying to establish for misuse of the board for intimidation of experts to try to undermine the litigation process, to me, seems very clear. The other reason they filed this complaint against me, you know, was retribution by trying to defame my reputation as an expert and my credibility. In in a large majority of depositions that I participated in, one of the questions that I am asked is, has a board complaint ever been filed against you? Up until now, the answer has always been no. For the rest of my career, the answer to that will be yes. It doesn't matter if the complaint is dismissed. It doesn't matter if it's a bogus complaint. It matters that a complaint was filed. So now what Felton has done is attacked my credibility and my profession and my ability to do my profession by misusing the board and filing a bogus complaint against me. There are other aspects of this that are disturbing. But this should be a concern to everyone on this board and everyone who is licensed as a registrant in Arizona. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Lofquist. Obviously, this board has to still investigate any complaint that's brought before it, but I believe in the opinion as well that this case will be dismissed because of the nature and the background behind it. But I will open up to questions by the board if anyone else has any questions for Mr. Lofquist or his attorney. If not, we'll entertain a motion for dismissal.
Sure, this is Jack Gilmore. I have a question. And in my question, Ms. Crawford or Mr. Donovan? First of all, I don't have any issues with Mr. Lofquist or Mr. Axon. I think the reports that you guys prepare speak for themselves, and I'm glad this is being dismissed. But a bigger issue to me is there is a reference to loss of jurisdiction because of overlap with an expert witness. That's my major concern. Why did we lose jurisdiction? I know there's the new legislation in place, but in this case, it was a registrant complaining, filing a complaint about the performance standard of care under the registrant. So why is this being referenced as loss of jurisdiction?
This case is not being dismissed under the loss of jurisdiction due to the change in legislation. This is being dismissed as it is not a violation of standard of practice. The offering of an expert opinion and testimony, as was pointed out by the attorney for the licensee, is a process that in civil litigation, there's a process that you go through, and there are procedures for both vetting and for objecting to experts in a case, and it's not really a standard of practice issue in the current situation.
Okay, under item B12, under the investigative conclusion, it just says the board may not have jurisdiction.
We're on B2.
I know, not B12. They are related.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure we can talk about B12 when we're talking about B2. Just make sure we're.
Well, B2 actually has that as the investigative conclusions, is what. Yeah, what Mr. Gilmore was saying.
I just want to make sure we're okay.
Absolutely, but it's and I understand the confusion where it says the board may not have jurisdiction regarding the subject of the initial complaint. That's been a phrase that's been used a lot since the most recent legislation, which changed the board's jurisdiction. In this situation, the board may not have jurisdiction due to it not being a standards violation. So regardless of the prior of the legislation that changed the board's jurisdiction, the board still would not have had jurisdiction in this matter.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Excuse me.
If not, we'll entertain a motion to dismiss.
Before we vote, I just wanted to say my firm was involved as a co-defendant in the arbitration proceeding, so I'm going to abstain from voting on this.
Recuse.
Sorry.
All right. For the record, Mr. Lindsay is recusing from this vote. Any final discussion? Now I'll entertain a motion for dismissal.
True, Jack Gilmore. I'd like to recommend dismissal based on staff recommendation for item B12 or B2 and B12.
But we'll have to take that one as a separate motion.
Yeah.
So just P25-001.
Yeah, so I'll modify that to recommend dismissal of item P25-001.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Any final discussion?
Mr. Chairman, it was interesting to hear just on the items that were mentioned about just being having it filed against you, now they have to, you know, note that through there, even though it's been dismissed. So just got to say that's unfortunate through that, whatever process requires that. Anyway, just unfortunate.
I agree. All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Collette?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in and taking time to speak with us today. We really appreciate that. Given the fact that the related case, which is agenda item B12, let's go ahead and take that one next, just because it is fresh in our minds here as far as that goes. Again, I'm not sure under item B12 if Mr. Gregory Axton is on the line or not. Can we see if he is there or not?
I still don't see him.
Well, we need to continue with our business, so we'll go ahead and move forward with this agenda item anyway. Ms. Crawford, I don't know if there's anything specific to further elaborate on this case, but if you want to do a quick statement, that will make a vote.
Sure. Thank you, Board Chair. Very similar to the last case. The only difference is that in regards to this complaint, the allegations included respondents' involvement with providing expert reports and deposition, but otherwise it's fairly similar.
Thank you, Ms. Crawford. Does any board member have a question? I'll entertain a motion for dismissal. Are you going to come back on this one, Mr. Lindsay?
No, again, my firm, my colleague, Mr. Hossick, represented another defendant or a respondent in the arbitration. I'm not related to the to any other parties in the case, but I'll recuse myself from the vote.
Let the record show that. All right. I'll entertain a motion for dismissal.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendation for dismissal for item 8B12, case number P25008.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do you have a second?
Campbell will second.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Any final discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Ms. Collette?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. Thank you. Let's go ahead and go on to agenda item 8B8, which is P24-092. This one is a proposed resolution by dismissal, but also potential referral to for criminal prosecution. But let's have a chance to hear from our panel of experts. Mr. Elliott, if you would please.
Here's being an expert might get me into litigation, so. Good morning. This case came to the board alleging that the respondent had submitted a load calculation and structural analysis and design for that load calculation report, or a report for that calculation, structural engineering drawings for the residents in the project in Scottsdale, and apparently used fraudulently used the stamp and signature of Daniel Asensio. That was without his knowledge and without his permission. So upon review and speaking with Mr. Gillis, the respondent, he advised me and provided the documentation to show that he in fact had hired somebody off of Fiverr, and that person through contract with him through agreement, and he was able to provide emails showing that he had this agreement with him. The person that he hired on Fiverr was going to go ahead and submit everything for him to the city of Scottsdale. He didn't realize until after the fact that this person was using Mr. Asensio's stamp and signature, and so he was surprised by all of this, of course. Like I said, he was able to prove that to my and to our satisfaction. You guys have got the board packet. You've looked through it as well. The issue in this situation, however, is because Fiverr has become such an issue. I have this one and several others coming before you in the future that I would like to recommend that we refer to the Attorney General's office for prosecution. They may or may not be able to do anything with it, but they may have more resources than I have, than we have. And because it's an issue, at least they would have it. And it would be something that at some point, if we get to that place with these cases, which I really do hope we eventually do, they can act on it. If not this one, future cases, and it will just build. So my request is that we can forward this up to the Attorney General's office.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I've got a question.
Yes, Mr. Smith, please.
Do you know where Mr. Duchamp resides? That's the one that he's hired, is that correct?
I don't know for sure. I believe it was Saudi Arabia. Yeah, he's offshore.
Any other questions? If not, then we'll entertain a motion to dismiss this case and refer forward this case to the Attorney General's Office for possible criminal prosecution regarding fraud. Mr. Donald, any issue with doing this as one motion as opposed to two motions?
No, it's just one case. I would be fine with it being included in one motion.
Entertain that motion then.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'd like to make a motion accepting staff recommendation for dismissal of agenda item 8BA, case number P24092. And then to subsequently move this case to the Attorney General's office for prosecution.
Possible criminal prosecution.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Phil Nesgood, I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Nesgood. Any final discussion? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klein?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes. Thank you. All right, let's move back to kind of in somewhat of an order here, which is agenda item 8B3, case P25033. We do have the alleger, Mr. Aaron Cavagnolo. I hope I pronounced that properly. Are you on?
Yeah, back down here.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm actually on the phone. Yeah.
Excellent, great. We're going to hear from our investigator first, and then we'll hear from you right afterwards. So. Back to that. All right, Mr. Carthel, the floor is yours.
Good morning. So the board received this complaint on November 4th of this year. The complaint is in regards to inspection that the resident made on a home and some possible issues with water infiltration. There were several technical details that were quite honestly a bit over my head. However, in corresponding with both the alleger and the respondent, they both confirmed that the inspection in question happened in Hawaii. The reason Arizona was, involved to some degree was that respondent has a dual license here in Arizona as well as in Hawaii, and alleger has a property in here in Arizona as well as Hawaii. So there's some things there, but the act in question was actually in Hawaii, therefore outside of our jurisdiction.
All right, Mr. Cavagnolo, would you like to make a comment? Here's your chance to do so.
My main comment is the reason I contacted Arizona is during my communications with Mr. Dallas, he referenced his certification in Arizona in the process, and he discussed that he's a licensed engineer in Arizona, and he brought this up. And he used it to support his conclusions. And so that's the reason I brought it up, is like, hey, he's using your license. And honestly, I think he's bringing down whatever the credibility of professionals in the state of Arizona with his comment. I run a business, it's a small business in Arizona, and it's concerning. You know, you don't want people going around behaving the manner that he did, where it, you know, he said on his report, he said, hey, the AC unit drained into the unit. And he didn't provide any physical evidence. I had an HVAC professional go out to look at fixing it and actually drained away from the unit. And he provided photos, which I provided to you guys in the report. And so just a lot of the stuff in there didn't make sense. Like, it didn't make sense. He never clarified, like, hey, you never said, well, here's what I have. This is how I came to the conclusion. Here's my evidence. Along with that, my understanding is when he was there on site, talking to the resident manager who was there, he discussed removing the concrete floor and installing a vapor barrier and re-cleaning the concrete floor down, but that wasn't included in his reports. You know, I studied civil engineering, I have PhD, I do not practice, but if I didn't know as much as I did, I would have no idea to question his actions and his behavior. And so I think it's a credibility issue here, and maybe it isn't right in Arizona. I just felt like running a business in Arizona, I don't want this guy going around. If he behaves in this manner, it's really concerning to me. And then the last part is when I did bring up these issues, instead of addressing them, he threatened legal consequences against me, which was just appalling. And so I was like, okay, you know what, we don't need this. And so that's why I'm reporting here. Maybe it isn't within jurisdiction. I hope it is, and I hope we can do something, because I'm concerned about other projects he participated in and what that his behavior here. Maybe it's a one-time event, but I feel like so much with stuff like this, when people behave in a certain manner, that it's a pattern. And I'm concerned about the ramifications for work he's done in Arizona and potential future work he does in Arizona. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, too, very willing to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Cavagno. We appreciate that statement. Yeah, again, given that this complaint does involve conduct outside of Arizona, we do not have jurisdiction. Kurt?
Yes. The respondent has raised his hand.
Okay, I was just about to ask if Mr. Jouch, Michael, if he would like to speak.
Sure, I'd like to speak.
Please state your name just for the record.
My name is Michael Yao. I live in Hawaii. I formerly lived in Arizona. This issue was brought up. I'm a acquaintance of a structural engineer, Michael Casamoto, who did an extensive report on this property. He asked me, Mr. Casamoto asked me to talk to these individuals, give them a recommendation on how to deal with a floor that had some moisture issue. So my recommendation, Mr. Cavallo, or what, I don't know how to pronounce his name, didn't like that. He's been writing emails, probably to the effect of for quite some time. I was not aware of this at the time that I discussed this with the Diamond Head CERT individuals, which is an HOA. And my recommendation still stands with the issue. I was not hired by this gentleman. I was really only asked to do a recommendation, which I did. And I stick with that. This individual's written lots of emails to the HOA and is in some type of an issue with them. I prefer to stay out of that. And this type of coming after me and my license here as well as in Hawaii makes it impossible for individuals like myself who were asked to do just a recommendation for these people to repair things. I do it on a regular basis. Typically, I don't get paid for it, just as a professional. I've been in the construction management for many projects all over Arizona for 30-something years. And to have this type of complaint filed, which is completely baseless, he doesn't know the scope of what I was asked to do. And it's been very confrontational in emails, et cetera, to me. Coming after my license, coming after my professional background, which he has none of.
Am I allowed to respond to this? Am I allowed to respond to this?
Well, again,
is he saying I'm coming after?
Well, gentlemen, if I can just say again, this is a Hawaii case. This is not an Arizona case. So we're going to be dismissing this for that reason. We don't have jurisdiction. So I would suggest that you take this
thank you.
To Hawaii. So, with that, we'll entertain a motion for dismissal.
Mr. Chairman, just a discussion point. I guess I'll start with motion then. Mr. Chairman, Scott Sales, I'd like to propose a motion to dismiss P25-033.
Mr. Sales, you have a second?
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll second the motion.
Now for discussion.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just looking through the documents, just to reinforce the Hawaii connection here, looking at the documents and addresses and such between that Michael Gough put together, it's got Hawaii addresses and such on it. So to me, clearly, this was all done in Hawaii. So I agree, it's not part of our jurisdiction.
Great. Any other comments? All those in favor for dismissal, please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Klett?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that motion passes.